You have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. So we're going over the Sermon on the Mount. We're going over the Beatitudes in particular, and we are coming to the close of the Beatitudes. Not yet the close, but coming to the close of the Beatitudes. We're in the 8th Beatitude. And what our Lord teaches us, He teaches us the path to blessedness. You want to be blessed in life, follow the instructions from our Lord, and truly you will be blessed. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 144 and verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The word happy is the same word as blessed. Happiness, makarios is the Greek word. Happiness, oh, the blessednesses of the people of God. Or let's put it in everyday language. Oh, the happinesses of the people of God. We, as God's people, ought to be the happiest people upon earth. There is a false happiness that many have. Many think that place is Disney, but let me tell you something. There are some corrupt things going on in Disney you need to be aware of. The Word of God tells us and instructs us in Matthew chapter 5. And down in verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Peace. John MacArthur says, the Word of God opens in the Garden of Eden. And there is peace in the garden. The Word of God closes in eternity. And it closes with peace with God. The problem is sin has entered into this world. And because sin has come in, peace is gone. But yet God has given us in His Word the promise of the Prince of Peace. And throughout the Old Testament, that promise of the Prince of Peace that He's coming. And the reason He's coming is because all of mankind is at enmity with God. The Word of God tells us that we are at enmity. In other words, man is born a sinner. Because sin has entered into this world, it's caused us not to have peace with God. Therefore, to truly be blessed, you must realize that you are poor in spirit. Verse 3 in chapter 5 tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is to realize that you are a broken individual. It means that you understand that you are a sinner. And there's nothing in your life that you can do to appease God or His wrath. But God's promised He would send the Prince of Peace. Because of that brokenness, because of that sin in your life, sinful thoughts, sinful ways, sinful talk, because of that sinfulness, when you realize that you're a sinner, you mourn because of sin. Sin in your own life, and you realized how it separated you from God. You see sin all around this world, and you mourn because of other people's sin also. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Only God can comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word meek corresponds real well with the word peacemakers. Meek means gentle, means self-control. You've got power, but it's under control. It's a meekness. You cannot be a peacemaker unless you have meekness. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to his disciples back in the day? As he's teaching, he's saying, blessed are the peacemakers. And remember what the Jews were looking for. The Jews are looking for a Messiah. One who's coming. One who's to deliver them from the Roman oppression, the Roman government. They're looking for a political leader, one to overthrow the Roman government. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. His disciples hear this. I wonder what they were thinking. They're looking for a political revival caused by the Messiah. There have always been wars. Goes way back. Cain and Abel. There are wars today. Why are there so many wars? Why is there war in Ukraine? Why is there wars around the world? Let me tell you the number one reason. It's not going to be solved by politics. There'll always be war because of sin. Sin is the problem. Very interesting interview, and I don't want to get off into politics too much. Tucker Carlson interviewed Vladimir Putin this past week. If you were able to watch some of that, I was able to watch the first hour of it. I found it very fascinating. Vladimir Putin just talked for 30 minutes on the history of Russia. Went all the way back to 600 AD, telling details about Russia, which I found very fascinating. He talked very coherently, talked very informatively, very respectful. And he made this comment. He says if the U.S. would stop funding Ukraine, the war would end. But the problem is we've got leaders that are funding this war, which is pushing the war to go further and further. In other words, more war, more war, more war. We have already sent countless billions of dollars to Ukraine. Much of it is abused, used wrongfully. Doesn't matter where you stand on this issue, whether you're for U.S. funding it or not. The U.S. wants to send $60 billion more to Ukraine. Can you imagine $60 billion more? They need to crank up the presses to do that. Many see the issue with Ukraine as a bigger issue than helping the United States citizens. Therefore, we have a border issue where it's causing major issues in our nation. They are giving countless numbers of dollars and gifts to illegal immigrants, while there are starving veterans on the streets. The Word of God tells us in the book of James, chapter 4, it says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? You see, here's the problem. The problem is sin. You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain it. You fight, you war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And James goes on to say, and you, when you ask, and you receive not, it's because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What the Word of God is telling us, you cannot make peace according to the world's standards. Jesus is telling us, blessed are the peacemakers. You're not a peacemaker according to the standards of this world. Matthew goes on to say in Matthew chapter 15 and down in verse 19, he tells us, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, thefts, adulteries, fornications, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. You see, it's out of the abundance of the heart that sin comes. The problem with mankind is the problem of the heart, and the root of that heart, it's sinful. And you know what? Until our Lord returns, there will continue to be wars and rumors of wars. Why? Because of the lust of the flesh, the desires. So what is Jesus saying when he says, blessed are the peacemakers? What is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is not someone who is just passive and looks the other way. A peacemaker is not one who seeks peace at any price. A peacemaker is someone who is not quarrelsome. A peacemaker is one who fits the characteristics of these Beatitudes. He desires peace. And he will do what he can to bring peace and to maintain peace in a situation. Whether it's a personal situation between two people, or whether it's a congregation of people, or whether it's a nation, a peacemaker is one who seeks to bring two parties together. That's a peacemaker. Ultimately, a peacemaker is one who desires everyone to be at peace with God. But where does that come from? If you notice the Beatitude right before, it says, blessed are they that are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is it talking about, the pure in heart? It's talking about the singleness of heart. Blessed are those who have a single heart. That's unto the Lord. We've read in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. It talks about how out of the heart proceeds all these wickednesses. All this evil comes forth from the sinful heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. A peacemaker is one who cannot be self-centered. He cannot be focused upon himself. When one seeks to make peace in a situation, they cannot look at it from their point of view as, what am I going to gain from this? Or how will this hurt me? How will this situation affect me and how I try to bring peace in this situation? Now let me tell you something. This is very difficult, to be a peacemaker. To be a peacemaker, that means you've got to be selfless. There have been situations where I've counseled married couples that are ready to kill each other. By the time they get through in counseling married couples, there have been times they want to kill me instead of kill each other. At least I diverted their attention, I guess. But it must be, if you're going to be a peacemaker, you must be willing to sacrifice self for the cause of Christ. That means you cannot be thin-skinned. You cannot be easily offended if you're going to be a peacemaker. Because those who are at enmity ultimately desire to turn on you, even when you're trying to help them. When it comes to witnessing to people, sharing the gospel with people, you don't go beating someone over the head with a Bible. tell him, you hard-headed fool, you don't believe, shame on you. Yeah, you can't do that. You've got to be neutral in bringing two parties together. You must see yourself as a sinner in need of grace. And when you see yourself as a sinner that has been saved by grace, only then can you use the grace to minister to others who need that grace. You see, there's got to be a heart change within your own heart for you to be a help to others. Blessed are the peacemakers. In situations where I encounter people, whether it's witnessing, and I've witnessed to some hostile people, or whether it's marital counseling, or whether it's two parties that are at each other's throat, I understand that if it were not for the grace of God, there goes me. If it were not for the grace of God, I'd be that argumentative, and I'd be that belligerent, and I'd be that, have that animosity and hatred. And if it were not for the grace of God, if I'm witnessing to someone, I'm a lost sinner just like they, at enmity with God. Therefore, I must humble myself in the sight of God to be able to minister the grace of God to people who are in need of grace. I've got to see myself as a sinner. Hello. Saved by grace. Somebody needs to turn to. Oh, okay. Just turn it on and they can hear the rest of the sermon. I got to see myself as a sinner that has been saved by grace. And I'm reaching out to a sinner who stands in need of grace. If I have been saved by grace and the grace of God has reached down and rescued me, the person I'm talking to needs the same grace. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you something. I've confessed my sins to you before. Years passed, many years ago, I used to drink and do ungodly things. When God saved me out of that lifestyle, I have more sympathy toward those in that lifestyle. Because of the grace of God, if it were not for God's grace, I'd still be in that lifestyle or dead. God has shown great mercy in my life, not because I deserve it. It's because He loved me. And the greatest thing I'm still trying to figure out as a minister of the gospel, as one who's been saved by grace, you know, the hardest thing for me to understand is, why would God love me? I don't have a question why God does not save some. I have a question why God would save me. And I guess I'll be wrestling with that all my life. But this I know, He has great love. He had love for a sinner such as I. One who is a peacemaker is one who doesn't talk about others. It's awful quiet in here. It needs to be quiet. I want you to ponder with me for a moment. Sometimes people are offensive. Sometimes you get offended. Sometimes people are very defensive. Sometimes people are just belligerent. And sometimes people are just outright sinful. But that don't give you the freedom to talk about another when it could hurt them. Hear me. We all do it. Guilty. Three fingers pointing back at me. You might say, but I've got a right to my opinion. Yes, you got a right to your opinion, but you do not have a right to hurt other people with your opinion. And that's what's caused a lot of harm in people's lives. It's what's caused a lot of harm in churches. You got to understand, when people do offensive things and ungodly things, things that might not equal up to your standard, oftentimes those people are under the control of the God of this world. They are following the ruler of this world. We cannot expect people who know not Christ to act like Christians. There will be some challenges I'm going to face this week, no doubt. There will be challenges you face this week. What we need to show as children of God is pity and mercy upon sinners. You can beat somebody over the head with their sinfulness. You can put them down. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't watch out, you cut off your testimony. What people need is what you and I need, and that's mercy. We need the grace of God working in our lives. And God has worked in our lives. Now, because of that, we need to live to glorify God. Even if it means at the expense of your own self. I have mentioned a pastor from the past who's passed away. He passed away back in the 80s. I found it very interesting as he has gone over this passage of Scripture. He's very enlightening. Martin Lloyd Jones, very intelligent man. God used him in a tremendous way. He mentions four things that you ought to put into practice to be a peacemaker. You know what? If this world was full of peacemakers, what kind of world would we live in? I want you to listen to these four things that Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones had mentioned. The first thing he says, we need to learn to not to speak. That sounds kind of odd. You, as well as I, we need to learn not to speak. Often we are told we need to learn to be bold and stand up and speak. How many times have you ever heard someone say you need to learn not to speak? That's kind of a rarity. But listen to what the Word of God says in James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Did you get it? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James, I do believe, I'm not sure. I think Brother Spencer was on this morning. I'm speculating as from what we talked earlier in the week. But James says in chapter 3, my brethren, don't be many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You see what James is saying? The words that you say can get you in trouble. Oftentimes, when I got in trouble with my mom when I was younger, I'd ask her how she found out. She would tell me a little birdie told me. I've never found that bird, but I'd always get in trouble with that little birdie. You better be careful what you say. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Ships, they got the rudders. You know, even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. All it takes is just a little bit of something you say, and it can be like a wildfire and spread like crazy. We need to learn not to speak. If it's going to hurt someone, don't repeat. This is a tough lesson. For the sake of peace, hold your peace. There again, you might say, well, I'm entitled to my opinion. Yes, you are. But you ain't entitled to your opinion to speak evil of others. James chapter 1, verse 19. Let every man be, what does it say? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If there's one thing you can get from this whole sermon, to be a peacemaker, you got to be slow to speak. God gave you two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much. Know when to speak, know when not to speak. The second thing that Dr. Jones brings out, he says, view each situation in light of the gospel. As you're trying to be a peacemaker and trying to help others, look at the situation that you're in light of the gospel, and what implications it might have upon others. His third point, go out of your way to make peace. Here's something I've learned. No one likes confrontation. At least most people don't like confrontation. Some of you, if you automatically confront me after this service, I'm going to take it you like confrontation, and you're one of them rare people. But most people don't like confrontation. But here, what we are to do, we are to go out of our way to make peace. That sometimes means you've got to confront. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 12 and down in verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. If your enemy hungers, it doesn't say just feel sorry for him. It says you're to take food to him. That means it's going the extra mile. The fourth point that Dr. Jones makes, he says spread peace everywhere you can by being selfless, lovable, and approachable. People know whether you're approachable or not. Be selfless, lovable, and approachable. The Word of God tells us, back in our text in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. It's not peace at any cost. It's not peace at being passive. It's not peace by just going along with everything. No, that's not what we're saying. He's talking about getting two parties together to unite in singleness of heart. There's the purity of heart involved in this. And God gives us a promise that they shall be called the children of God. This morning I asked you, are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, the Word of God says you are a peacemaker. So let me rephrase that. Are you a peacemaker? Are you one who desires peace? peace between other individuals, peace between nations, peace between man and God. That means if you desire peace and you're a peacemaker, it is your job and your responsibility to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. Because man is at enmity with God. And the Word of God tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You see, man is at enmity with God. We as ambassadors of God, we're peacemakers. We need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people, that they might be united to God. The Word of God goes on to say in that passage of Scripture, "For He hath made Him who knew no sin, He come sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, "But now in Christ you who were sometimes far off." You see, sin causes us to be far off from God. "But now are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We have drawn close to Christ because of His blood and because of His sacrifice. For He is our peace," is what the Word of God says, "who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." You see, we were at enmity with God, and Christ has slain that enmity. And by His blood, He has reconciled us to God. He is our peace. God is merciful, but you know why I am saved? It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not because of anything I've done. It's all through the redemption of His blood. His sacrifice upon the cross has made peace between God and man. Very simply, the gospel message is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look at what Christ has done. He's died for our sins. That was what separated us from God. That's why we were afar off from God, but now we're made nigh unto God through the sacrifice of His Son. And here we have eternal life through Christ. We have peace with God. Let me ask you, is there anything better to have in life than peace? If you have peace with God, there can be war going on around you, and your soul will be satisfied, content in God. You desire peace for others, but if you're at peace with God, He gives us a peace that passes understanding. That peace He's left with us, He gives unto us. That no matter what happens in life, we can have peace through any trial and situation. Now God has commanded us to go and be peacemakers. If you're a child of God, have you made peace with God? It's only through Christ that you can have that peace. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never confessed Him publicly as Lord, that's what this invitation's for. If you've never publicly renounced your sin and by faith trusted in Him, would you do that this morning? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you followed Him in baptism? Are you active in a local body of believers? Do you desire to please Him? Are you pure in heart? Are you a peacemaker? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, it's difficult for many to be peacemakers. Many do not want to get involved in other people's lives, trying to reconcile disputes and arguments, problems in marriages, problems in homes, problems with children. But ultimately, they have problems with You. And we don't get involved by sharing the gospel as we ought. Lord, Your word says, blessed or happy are those that are peacemakers. And You identify us as Your children. We ask that You'd help us to be peacemakers, ultimately with Your gospel, in the lives of fallen men and women, that others might confess You as Lord and live to Your honor and glory. We'll give You the thanks and the praise for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to sing a hymn of invitation. Jesus paid it all. Would you simply respond as the Lord is leading you?